back to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, episode 315. Now we gotta do it again!
Wait, I didn't explain what we're doing.
You're listening to Dots, Lines, and Destinations, a travel podcast with hosts Stephen Seagraves, Foz Mahmoud, and Seth Miller.
Welcome back to Dots, Lines, and Destinations 352. I'm here with Seth Miller, our friend Steve, and Michael Bion.
We're
in Sonoma.
Yeah, so, took the show on the road.
Sonoma County.
Yeah. Took the show on the skies.
We're in Russia. We took the road on the air.
Yeah. It's the Russian River Brewing is where we're at.
We are. We're drinking beers.
Yep. Seth, you've got a Pilsner.
Pilsner.
Steve, Michael, you've got Pliny the Elder.
Correct.
Classic.
Correct.
And I've got a, I don't even remember what I got, but it's good. It's a lager. It's a Hell's lager.
Yeah. Can we just pause? This place is massive.
It is huge.
When we were driving down the street on the way here,
we saw that giant tank.
Like, that's not it, is it? And I'm like, no.
Do you see the giant tank from the road?
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, that's a brewery. I hope, because if not, something else going on.
Well, we were like, wait, this is a full blown
complex.
It's huge.
The building's over here.
Yeah. So the airport location.
Yep.
Not the downtown.
I know for you non-Californians, non-Sonoma County folk, space and land is a little bit, a little bit different for you, but there's farmlands and fields out here to the eyes, as far as eyes can see.
We've already had wine today.
Yep.
And we're ending the day. We're hoping to have some food.
Yeah. It turns out they don't serve food outside,
which I don't understand.
It's really loud inside, so we couldn't really record an episode in there.
And I don't really feel like being inside yet.
Yeah, it's a nice sunny day.
Yeah.
I'm getting a suntan. The rest of you guys are under shade, so whatever.
We're here in California.
Post Dorkfest?
Dorkfest. We were at Dorkfest or New York City Plain.
NYC Spot.
Spot.
LAX.
Yeah. It was fun. Good time.
Yeah. Like 300 people.
It was big.
It was the park outside. So that's a couple hours basically at the park outside, the In-N-Out on Sepulveda outside of LAX. Wawa, the local airport authority, helped support it this year. A lot of prizes from some of the local airlines and such. It was a good time. But like something like 260 raffle tickets handed out. So we're estimating about 300 people total.
Yeah.
We're there throughout the day. It was crazy good times. It was great to see everybody again. Right.
This was weird.
Yeah. It was weird, but the good sort of weird. This was sort of the first time. And I'm coming off a trip to Germany last week. I flew from Germany straight to LA for this. So this is the first time I've seen a lot of people.
Yeah.
Right. I had first time like meeting colleagues in Europe again. First time now doing with a bunch of folks in the U.S. It's still hard to recognize everybody with masks on. But getting better at that, and it was really nice to actually get to finally interact with people again in some ways.
It felt like a little bit of normalcy to
me. Like, even though everybody was wearing a mask.
Even though everybody was wearing masks, but like everyone was like, when the planes went over, when the A380 went over.
Everything stopped,
everyone was looking at the plane. It was like old times.
We can't get on these planes.
Yeah, we can't get in on them. We can't get on any of them, but it was fun.
You can go to Dubai now.
Yes.
You're all vaccinated. Anyone vaccinated is allowed entry to Dubai. That's easy.
But I think it added like a little spark, like seeing Japan Airlines, seeing Aeroflot, seeing Philippine Airlines come in. And even if we went to Korean barbecue together
last night,
and that was a touch of a little bit of normalcy for me.
Outdoor Korean barbecue, a little issue with the grilling still, but
correct.
We had some technical challenges. But other than that, it really was dinner with friends. Like, why do you travel? Work, sure, but because I don't live in the same town as all my friends. So I used to joke years ago, like, you go to Hong Kong for dinner because that's where your friends could, like, everybody would show up, and that was an easy place for everybody. Like, it seems silly to say now, like, yeah, we just all go to Hong Kong instead of, like, picking a place nearby.
Yeah.
But in some ways, it's true. That was the easy way to get the friends together. And yesterday in L.A., there was some of that.
Yeah, it definitely felt that way. Steve, did you have a favorite arrival yesterday? One that you were like, oh, that was cool.
So it was cool to see an A380.
I know, it was a little weird, right? Like, because it was the only A380 there.
Yeah, it's the one Emirates flight a day.
Yeah.
Whereas LAX used to have, like,
both Air France,
British Airways,
all the Asian carriers
all
brought
the
it in.
Asiana, Korean.
Yeah. No, that was also an A380, just based on its size, how slow it, like, is when they're landing, flying sort of slow and slow coming in. You kind of have to wonder how it's still in the air.
So we saw him making his downwind.
Yeah.
And he was at still, like, 8,000 feet at that point. And we were looking up at him, and we were like, that guy's tiny. Like, he's small.
Yeah.
Doesn't look big. And I know what an A380 looks like, but at 8,000 feet, you're like, well, that's not a very good plane.
Yeah.
And he comes in, and he comes over the 7-Eleven that's there now, and we're like, he's lumbering. Like,
yeah.
Just, like, low and slow, baby.
Yeah. Those are big planes.
Yeah. So that was fun. I enjoyed seeing all of the Asian carriers there. There was, like, Japan Airlines, Korean, three Japan Airlines flights.
A couple ANA. China Airlines and Air China.
Yeah, there was a lot. And I know a lot of it's cargo, but it's fun to see some of that stuff that I haven't seen in a long time.
Yeah.
It was refreshing. So. Yeah.
I have a question for you guys. So I know that you're in kind of what I would... So I'm based in SFO, as is Steve. You guys, Seth, Steven, are coming from smaller airports, or even Seth, you know, is like connecting to a somewhat smaller airport. Do you not see these international tails at your locations? Is this like a new phenomenon for you?
Boston has a surprisingly, historically, like in the last 5 years, like 2014 to 2019 or whatever, had a surprisingly good growth of international traffic and still has some of that happening. Pease Air Force Base, which is Pease Airport / the Air Force Base literally down the street from me. No, we have nothing. We have cargo carriers, and we have the occasional military charter. So I can see a lot of Eastern 767s, and I see some Atlas has some passenger planes they bring in for national, maybe.
Yeah.
But no, I don't see any planes where I live. I see them up at 40,000 feet if the skies are clear. But that's I live in flyover country, you know, out on the East Coast.
So what international service is still Boston?
I flew Swiss over to Europe last weekend. Lufthansa has... Swiss was a 330. Lufthansa has a 330 to Frankfurt and a 350 to Munich. British Airways has a few flights.
They've had Asia.
There is some Asia service still. I think JAL was at the gate, but the jet bridge was pushed back. So like, did they have enough room they can park it and not have to tow it away? Turkish, which is technically Europe, but, you know, close enough to the Asia side. Emirates still is flying. Qatar is not. KLM is. Air France is. So a lot of them are down to, you know, one a day in smaller planes than typical, but there is still connectivity has come back. So, you know, we have some options. I think Korean had come back at one point. I'm not sure if they're still back. That route was supported by cargo. That route... especially pre the China trade war tariffs situation, was exporting, was carrying so many pounds of lobsters via Seoul into China and elsewhere. Literally, they've said, like, that's how they're making their money.
Wow.
And the passengers on board were an added bonus.
Wow.
So, yeah, we've got some international service. If I'm willing to take the bus down to Logan, I can actually get a surprising number of places pretty easily.
So we're the only thing we've got going right now is Iceland Air.
Really? Still, even at this juncture?
They just restarted.
Okay.
The service, yeah. It's 3 days, 4 days a week.
Delta hasn't brought back any international
Delta
service?
Delta hasn't brought back anything. Supposedly, Portland Seoul is coming at the end of the year. We'll see if that actually happens. Portland Narita is supposed to come back whenever Tokyo reopens or Japan reopens. But I'll be interested to see what they actually do with that, if it goes to Haneda or what. And then there's someone else that I saw the other day. I mean, we still have Volaris down to Guadalajara. And a bunch of...
Do you get Condor?
Condor hasn't come back yet. They're supposed to, but they don't come back yet. They haven't come back yet. And then we have, like, Alaska has a bunch of flights to, like, Cabo, other places in Mexico.
How about Air Canada? Anything going up?
Oh, we do have Vancouver.
That's open again.
That's back open again. From what I've seen, the loads are really, really light, though. Mm-hmm. I just think, since Canadians can't really come in, I think it's still... The plane's pretty empty. Yeah.
So I think a lot of these international restarts scheduled for the fall are... Pipe dream. Either optimistic or just I haven't gotten the chance to delete them from the schedules yet.
Well, I mean, it's funny you say that. A lot of the schedules are soft until 6 weeks out, right? It's hopeful, and they'll sell you all the seats they can because no one's buying them anyways, because passengers mostly recognize that it's soft until 6 weeks out, and then somewhere between 4, 6, 8 weeks out, the airlines are like, yeah, this ain't happening, and they start shredding the schedule. I mean,
yeah.
I just got Boston to London on Thanksgiving Sunday. American Airlines cut that flight.
Wow.
And won't rebook me on the nonstop on British Airways because I'm on a Web Saver Award, which how the fuck was I supposed to know? Damn it, that's our one. everybody else behave now. How was I supposed to know that? But they wouldn't rebook me on the nonstop. They're going to force me to connect. Or I have to pay. If I can find space on BA, that's great, but I have to pay the higher YQ, the higher fuel surcharge. So it's like...
It'll be like $600.
No, it was actually only about $200. And somewhat surprisingly, the... 8,000 fewer points.
Oh.
So, like, that's not a good price per cents per point value at all. Like, 8,000 points for $200 is a terrible deal.
Yeah.
But I may just suck it up because it's the day I need to travel, and I really would prefer to be on the nonstop than flying down to Philadelphia and dealing with that.
Yeah.
But their whole we can't do it thing was like, I'm like, sure you can. Just change the fare code. Like, you have the computers to do it. And they're like, no. So, like, okay, so you don't want to is fine, but don't tell me you can't.
What's in London on
World Aviation Festival is the week after
Thanksgiving.
So that's another work conference that I'm going to head over for.
Are you heading over directly from Dubai, or are you going to go back to the U.S.?
No, I'll come back to the U.S. I've got Thanksgiving at home with family. My parents are actually going to come and visit. So
when's Dubai?
Mid-November, I think.
What are you doing there?
Dubai Air Show. I'm moderating some sessions.
Is the Air Show actually
going to Dubai Air Show is happening. November 11th to 17th, or 14th to 17th, something like that.
I mean, maybe I'll come. I've never been to Dubai.
Okay. I can get you in.
There you go. Oh, wait, is this an open invitation?
I'm exceptionally good. Yeah, you want to come? I'll get an EVS credential as journalist.
I am so jonesing for an international trip. I have not been since January 2020.
Yeah, but Steve is not going to come no matter what, so it doesn't matter.
Oh. Don't ask me twice. You know
I will
show up.
No, this is the difference. I will extend you. I can get you. I'm pretty sure I can get you a journalist credential extended. You just have to be careful while you're there to, like, you know, act
you're
like
a journalist. You've got journalism.
Yeah. Can I go Oprah with this? It turns out that, you know, there's limits to it, but it's actually not that hard if you actually show up and actually say smart things. So, and I trust you can.
Hopefully.
But because we're in Sonoma today, we got here. We flew here.
Yeah.
Michael drove up, but Steven, and I flew up on a Velo. First time for all of us.
Yep.
A little bit of drama. We were concerned with the flight schedule stuff, but that's less important. What did you guys think?
Under mildly surprised, underwhelmed. Which, okay. Underwhelmed is a good thing, I think, in this case.
Like, underwhelmed because there wasn't the drama you were hoping for?
No, I think, like, underwhelmed, like, it wasn't, like, as low-cost carrier-esque as I expected. And maybe that's because of how they do things, like, they do everything on the web, so you pay for your bag beforehand, you save money. And so, like, the check-in experience, it was, like, me in the line.
Yeah.
And then Steve walked up and said, can you print my boarding pass? She's like, really nice. I was like, yeah, sure. And like, not like, oh, that'll be $5. Like, I kind of had that expectation.
Yeah. So there was no Spirit Airlines. You want to get your boarding pass at the airport. You got to pay a $5 fee.
No,
they didn't have any of that.
No, I felt like I was robbing them. I paid $29. I got an entire row to myself. I got a free snack. And I got a super excited ticketing aid. My boarding pass. Like, she was excited that I was robbing her airline. That's kind of how I felt.
It's true.
Yeah,
it's true.
I would echo those sentiments, right? Like, the snack, I probably should have paid more attention, but wasn't expecting that. It was a little water bottle and some shortbread.
Yep.
For those who...
Perfect, fine.
You know, obsessed over the Walker shortbread in the Continental Presidents Clubs back in the day. It was not Walker's shortbread, but it was...
Lorna Doone.
It was, yeah. I mean, thank you. I don't remember the name. But it was, you know, surprisingly good. It was thinner, not the thicker Walkers, but, like, they were fine. They had the buttery flavor. Like, they were shortbread.
Yep.
It was... Everything about, like, 189 seats on a 738 is about as many as you can do without making it truly brutal. There was some extra legroom seats, like on the right side of the DEF side, only in the front rows, the front of the exit rows.
I did notice that, like when we were getting on the plane, I was like, "Oh, these rows are like offset."
Yeah,
this is weird.
But like, that's how they do it, though, right? Yeah. Like the front row on the ABC side, there's no wall there, so you play footsie with the flight attendants. You want that extra legroom in the exit row. The other exit rows are normal. And, like, but we sat. We were supposed to be 27, 28, and 29F. Someone was in 28F, which was my seat when I finally got on board at the end, and so I had the A seat instead. All three of us had our own row, right?
Yep.
It was, like, my knees weren't hitting the seat in front of me,
which
I was sort of expecting.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the loads, too. I mean, so we were flying Burbank to Sonoma, or Santa Rosa.
Yeah.
On a Sunday morning. So you would think very much a reverse of where most of the
people
traffic
are going,
would be going. And, I don't know, what, 75-ish percent? No? 60%?
50 to 60.
Yeah,
I thought it was a pretty solid...
They had some empty rows behind us. But, like, in front of us, it was good. I think it was 60%.
Think about it, everyone in front of us likely paid for their seat assignment.
True.
So those are customers.
Because, like, auto assignments. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
But who are these people? Because you guys would fly from Dorkfest to Santa Rosa just for the hell of it.
So,
but who's going between L.A. and Sonoma County, which, for those of you who are listening who may not know, this is about an hour, 90 minutes north of San Francisco proper. So if anybody's familiar with Ryanair, this is like the nerve that Ryanair calls Bay Paris, right? This is not an easy airport for Bay Area folks. So what's the market?
So I had three ladies sitting in front of me. There were moms of students from, I'm guessing, USC that live up in Sonoma County. So they hate flying or hate traveling down to SFO or Oakland and love the convenience of Burbank. And these ladies are talking about how they have booked their monthly visits down to see their kids in school out through like January and February this year.
On a Velo.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so they're saying to the flight attendants, I'll see you next month.
I heard that, yeah.
Yeah, super excited for those two that were sitting, like, they're like two rows ahead of you and, like, talk the entire flight. But granted, they also did talk about how they don't pay for the seat assignments or the bags or anything.
But, like, 29 bucks? I know you're going down for the
weekend.
But, like, $29 for the weekend, though. Could you beat it? Like, it's better.
Not with a stick.
It's better than driving, right? Like,
yeah, it makes the $29 is cheaper than, forget that it includes the airfare. It's cheaper than just driving to San Francisco or
Golden exactly. Market. And, I mean, it wasn't bad. It wasn't, there's nothing amazing about it, but it was an hour flight. Like, I don't, it's like this intra-California commute, to me, seems like it's actually pretty ripe for some low-cost carriers. And that's maybe where Southwest is like, you know, Sacramento to Oakland, Sacramento to LAX or Burbank.
Sacramento to Oakland.
I think they do fly it, actually.
Really?
I think so.
I'm going to play producer here and cross-check you while we're still talking.
I'm going to go with a no on that one.
No, I don't think so. Maybe they don't. Maybe it's Fresno to Oakland.
Well, I do know that there is a PDX SMF on Southwest.
There is.
I mean, so it's not an unreasonable...
Yeah.
It's. Well, let me ask you this. This is the question I have, and this is the question I would have as the California resident. Well, Steve is also a California resident, but ear ops. Right, things wrong. What's the likelihood of things going wrong? Seth and I were having an interesting conversation in the car about how Avella was essentially running two separate airlines, East Coast and West Coast, and ne'er the twain shall meet.
Yeah.
So it's not like a question of having to position crew, having to position aircraft, but what happens, heaven forbid, should we get the, you know, Steve was joking about how there was a thousandth of an inch of rain this morning up in Burbank. It's like, what? Rain on the ground in September in California? How does this happen?
Can they get the performance?
Can they get the performance? You know? So what happens in ear op situations here?
Your flight is canceled.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, there is certainly risk there.
Not only your flight, but the, like, the day. Like 6-8 1-hour segments that they have planned for the rest of the day for that aircraft.
Yeah.
No, so yeah, I mean, it's certainly a domino effect that there is no recovering from.
Yeah, and your recovery is like, well, we don't fly it every day, so 3 days from now we might have a couple seats still.
And I think that will only get worse when they ramp up their East Coast service and move, I think, at least one of the aircraft that's currently operating the West Coast to the East Coast.
So they're supposed to be getting additional aircraft. They have 737-800s out west. There are operating one 700 series out here now, but I think that's mostly for familiarization, certification, and whatnot. But the 700 is going to fly out of New Haven, so... and they're going to keep the 800s out here. They do also still, right, they are the leftovers of Extra.
Yeah.
Was the operating certificate that they bought to start Avella. So they are planning to keep the charter services running. That's a big part of their business also.
And it was all, actually, the tail numbers. Our tail number was XT. Like the last
XT, they didn't even change them.
Yes. Yeah. Backwards that they're putting the smaller 700 East Coast where there's Florida,
on the mid demand between New Haven and Florida.
Yeah.
And they're putting the runway.
800s.
The runway in New Haven.
Right.
And the runway in New Haven is
smaller than the Burbank.
Yeah. Burbank is 6,800 feet. I looked them up this morning. Burbank's 6,800 feet. Santa Rosa is 6,000. And New Haven is 5,000,
I think. Oh, right, 5,000.
Yeah. And they're trying to extend it to 5,500 and finally got a Supreme Court ruling that says they're allowed to. And so just keep across the fact that it took the United States Supreme Court to rule on that. Or
so like 30 years from now, they might add a couple hundred
feet. They're actually working pretty hard on it, but it's really just add like 400 or 500 feet, where then they would probably be able to start flying the 800s over there as well. Breeze at one point said they could fly their A220s out of there with no performance impact. So
yeah, I mean, you 700 for a two-hour flight, I think, is kind of pretty much perfect for the runway length, especially if they fill it with college kids going to Florida. I mean, it is a little weird to me, though, that it's not being, like, they're not using more 700s on the West Coast because of hot during the summer, some of the altitudes as you get in. I mean, Santa Rosa, I think, is at like 1,000 feet or something, 2,000 feet maybe out here. I can't remember what it is, MSL. So there's a need. And then you even go into like places, some of the places you fly, like Eugene, or they fly up to Pasco, Washington, high and hot destination. I could see them needing 700 to do that. I
mean, these
only 128 feet elevation.
128. Okay,
that was off. The internet says.
You know,
that's why I'm not the producer.
These city pairs that you're mentioning, I asked Seth this, and I'd love to hear other opinions. But what is the market for these city pairs? Who is flying? You know, you mentioned
apparently
USC moms going down to Burbank, but honestly, who is going to fill these planes?
So they talked originally when they launched on the West Coast. They talked about Nat Parks, and so that was a big appeal, I think, during COVID that people wanted to explore the U.S. and national parks, but I agree with you. I mean, is that a sustainable model?
I mean, like, who's like? Let's take out the three women who were flying Burbank to Santa Rosa.
Yeah,
like, who else was on that plane besides us? There was families,
65 other people, and I have no idea what any of them were doing.
And I think for a lot of people, it's avoiding SFO and Oakland, San Jose. Like, they're just like, I don't want to fly there. I'm halfway between the two.
But this isn't an alternative to SFO.
If you live north, I mean, if you live more, like, if you live vaguely on this side of the Golden Gate Bridge, it's got to be vaguely an alternative now.
If your alternative were Oakland or, and you, let's say you live between the two, halfway between the two, Oakland or here, would you go here or Oakland?
like Oakland because you can go to so many more places.
Yeah.
You know, there was an interesting, I don't know if this is verboten to say, and if you need to edit this piece out of the podcast, let me know. Gary Left, View from the Wing, wrote a piece the other day about the interesting way that one airline is identifying routes, and it's based upon phone records, you know, identifying like, oh, people are calling from location X to location B. So maybe there is this hidden market of north of San Francisco that doesn't want to cross a bridge or pay a toll to get to SFO and deal with the traffic and is willing to come up to Sonoma County to get to SoCal. Maybe there's a hidden market that has been yet identified.
And to be clear, right, like Sonoma County, Santa Rosa Airport is building a new terminal. Like, as part of all of this that's going on.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure there's some demand, like Portland has flights, LAX has flights, Seattle has flights. There's people coming to Santa Rosa. How many people justify the terminal? I mean, if you're making a full 737 every day, like, I guess I get it.
I'll put out a little pitch to your listeners to do a quick Google search for what the Santa Rosa Airport looks like right now. It's, I mean, I don't think we should,
you should also
spoil it, yeah. But I mean, just taking some pictures.
I felt like it was like getting out of a bus terminal.
Yeah.
I've been in nicer bus terminals.
Yeah, I was going to say that's overstated.
I thought it was the old Long Beach.
It's the old Long Beach. Old with a couple trailers. A trailer and a tent for a baggage claim.
An outdoor baggage claim is great. California way.
I agree, but it's a tent.
It's like going to Hawaii, right? Like going to Hawaii. But here's the thing. It's not the Kona. It's not the Burbank. It's not the Long Beach.
It's a tent.
It's actually not nice. Those are nice versions of it now. Yeah. And Long Beach only.
So let's. I want to ask a question to Steve because it was his first time flying out of Burbank. Was it your first time flying out of Burbank?
No, but it's been a while.
It was my first time flying out. I flew into Burbank.
Okay.
Steve, it was your first time flying out of Burbank. What did you think of this airport? Right, like it's different, right?
Yeah, it's quirky. I think from the outside, you kind of get this like nostalgic, historical sort of feel. But man, you get inside, and it's just
we were in the B gates,
like an indoor flight
park. We were in the B gates. A gates are nicer, I think.
Okay,
and by nicer, wow, I don't mean like there's better construction. I think aesthetically, they have still the sort of like that classic feel.
Yeah,
that the airport is known for, but. That's what I remember from when I flew out. Last time I'm almost certain I flew on Southwest. Last time I did, it would have been off the other side. But other than that, yeah, it looks like a podunk airport inside, right? It looks very small. It feels like small town nothing, and it does not reflect Los Angeles.
I think there needs to, for those in your audience, those in your listening audience who don't understand what the appeal of Burbank is to SoCal or Los Angelinos,
yeah.
It's that it is a smaller airport.
Yeah, you spend no time in it.
It is north of LAX proper, right?
North of downtown LA.
North of downtown LA, so you avoid the 405, which, again, people from not California don't understand what that can mean in terms of the traffic and the hassle of just getting into the airport itself. Yeah. So Burbank is an extremely convenient airport.
Yes.
From that perspective, even though you really can't go anywhere international of interest or domestically.
To give you an example, I've
you can fly to New York City now.
You can fly on JetBlue, in all economy on JetBlue, but so what? All right.
So I have friends that live in Hollywood, North Hollywood, it's Hollywood, but Central Hollywood. And I was talking to them about it, and if they could fly out of Burbank every day of the week, they would. Because it's 20 minutes away. They can park for $23 a day or whatever at the terminal.
Which is surprisingly cheap.
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, valet is cheaper than self-parking.
Very true.
Yeah, it's $24 a day for the valet in the like outdoor lot. If you want to be in the garage, it's $32 somehow, if you park yourself.
So they show up 40 minutes before the flight. They get a cup of coffee or whatever.
Yeah.
And
you can show up you can show up 40 minutes before the flight and not feel like you're being rushed.
Yeah.
Right? At LAX, I'm going to aim for double that tomorrow morning, and am cutting it close, I feel like.
And they live, like, they have family on the East Coast. So for them, JFK, like, they fly to JFK, and that's what they want to do, because they're going to Long Beach or, you know, Long Island, and then down to North Carolina, so they can take JetBlue the whole way.
Yeah.
It makes sense. I get the appeal of Burbank. Like, if I'm coming to the LA area, Burbank to me is, like, it's easy.
Yeah. Unless you're going to El Segundo or Orange County.
Or Long Beach.
And if I'm flying Orange County or Long Beach,
just go to the airport.
Except those mean connections from the East Coast.
Can I ask a question, though? Let's talk about Long Beach.
Or from Boston. Sorry.
Let's talk about Long Beach.
Yeah.
So we were talking about how JetBlue's kind of given up Long Beach. Was that part of the agreement with them going to their partnership with the AA?
No. The partnership with AA is technically only in Boston and JFK, in Boston and New York City. That includes LaGuardia and Newark. But the giving up on Long Beach is because the Long Beach government and the city that basically manages the airport and has, it is one of a few airports in the country that has specific noise restrictions.
Yeah.
And the way they're calculated is like, it's based, there's a limited number of daily flights based on the plane, each type of plane makes X amount of noise and they add it all up and it has to come in under a certain level.
Gotcha.
And newer planes are much quieter. And so like when they switch from old, you know, 737 classics to the 700, 800, 900s or the 320s and now the Neos, like, and the Embraers, the E190s and whatnot, they were, in theory, should have been able to get more slots out of the airport. And they got a couple extra, and they got allocated to various airlines. And then on top of that, they built a new terminal. It was actually great, but JetBlue also wants to run international service out of L.A. And the city and or various people around the city basically made the claim that if you have international flights, they're going to be louder than the domestic flights we already have, putting aside that, like, it's the same airplane.
Physically not possible.
And effectively scuttled the plan to get a CBP facility installed, or FIS facility, or the immigration inspections, whatever. And once that happened, JetBlue was like, well, then we can't really do business here anymore. And it happened to coincide with COVID, where everybody else pulled back at LAX, and they were able to grab some additional gate space and some access to sort of run operations there.
Are they in an international, are they in an area of LAX where they can do international arrivals when they do it?
I think they're in 5.
That's what I thought.
Then would connect though to Tibbet because there is the underground.
There's the underground,
tunnel.
But I think they use Tibbet for arrivals. Tibbet for arrivals, and then
Tom Bradley.
Yes, Terminal B is what Lawa calls it. I guess for Bradley, but and then the others are all numbered. It's super weird. And then they tow the planes over to 5 for the departures.
Gotcha.
And so the underground terminal doesn't help enough because you're outside security. You just walk over if you got a connection.
Gotcha.
But they've really done an interesting job of adding a ton of service. Way more routes, way more flights, way more connections out of JFK, out of LAX than they ever had at Long Beach. And part of that is access to run more flights. Part of that is demand is higher. Part of it is that yields, the fares are higher out of LAX. Even before Southwest grabs its slots at Long Beach, the fares at Long Beach were just not good.
Well,
I mean for airlines, they were great passengers.
Because here's the thing I was going for. Like, JetBlue used to offer Portland, Boston, Portland, JFK, Portland, Long Beach, and you could do Portland, Long Beach, East Coast. So anywhere they flew out of Long Beach to East Coast, you could do.
Yeah.
That's all gone now, and they don't really offer the connections via LAX. Like, they don't even offer a Portland LAX.
That was one market I feel like they dropped. They kept most of the others.
Okay.
But also,
that would be nice, like, to be able to connect to Mint, to Boston or JFK. Like,
if they're selling a connecting
fare,
which they're really bad at. Also, like,
is the market there?
Is the market there? And JetBlue really prefers nonstop traffic over connections. And also, to an extent, like, COVID happened and JetBlue's route map looks so massively different now than it did. Like, they fly LAX Richmond and LAX Jacksonville, Florida.
Yeah.
Who the hell would have ever bet on either of those routes existing?
Plus from LA to Richmond.
Apparently, like, 80 people a day on JetBlue.
On an A320?
Pretty sure, yeah.
Wow. I didn't know that.
And maybe it's more, maybe it's less, fewer people. I don't know the actual loads, but, like, they're still operating it, so it must be doing something vaguely okay. We'll see what happens after PPP expires and they have to pay the flight crew to do that. But they need something to do with the planes. And like everybody else, they're drawing down in going into the second half of Q3 and into Q4 because passenger loads are down and demand is down. But they're trying all sorts of random stuff, and that never would have happened without COVID.
Yep.
Good news, bad news, right? Like, mostly bad news, COVID. But, like, it has forced the airlines to try some new and interesting things, and some of them might stick around after.
So I want to jump back to Avella briefly. Steve and I were talking on the car ride. You know, it was low ceilings this morning. Fog, typical Sonoma.
Yeah. Pilot came on.
Marine layer.
We all made eye contact. Pilot came on. We're going to give it a try. We think it will have burned off by the time we get there.
So I have two questions. One, I wanted to know what give it a try meant. Like, was he going to make the approach and go, eh, it's a little foggy. We're gonna pull back.
I assume, like, that there's a go no go.
There's
the
minimums,
right?
Minimums.
You can see the markings.
Steve looked it up. The minimums were like 300 feet, 350,
350, 600. But I forget.
It depends on doesn't it depend on like the ILS and everything. I don't know if they're doing ILS
cat,
here.
But cat there. Yeah. There is
like,
an ILS.
Cat 3 is there's like a version that's like no visibility. Cat, like, 3B is like the airplane just lands itself ish.
Yeah, and this is like probably like cat 1 or 2.
Yeah. So like I remember, sorry, I'm distracting you, but like I remember on one of the Star Megadus we were landing at Seattle. We were landing at Payne Field. And they were like, yeah, we got to have 100-foot minimum. If we don't see it, we got to divert to Seattle because we didn't load enough fuel for a second approach. And that was going to completely destroy our day. And they saw it at like 103 feet or maybe 93 feet in the pilot's bush. And I don't know. But like, after the fact, there was some discussion of the significant concerns of like, and if we had diverted, we would have had to pay for buses and all those things. And like, none of that was in the budget. And the whole thing, the entire event would have gone to shit in a hurry. But anyway.
So we're landing here, and I'm a couple questions came up. Like, one, the fog burns off relatively fast here in those mornings. So I think they plan for that, right? That's an 8 a.m. departure from
Burbank. They expect it'll be gone by 9 when they get up here.
They expect when they get here it's going to be warm enough. But if that didn't happen, say as you get into the summer where the marine layer is a little thicker, whatever.
Or if that, in the deep winter where the sun doesn't come up as early and it's too cold.
Exactly. What do you do? Like, where do you think they would have gone, Seth? Do you think, like, does he divert back to Burbank?
No.
Is that the plan?
Oh, I'm not Seth. This is Michael. I would say, you know, just go up to Sacramento or down to Oakland. I mean, all the way down to Burbank. My God.
But they don't have operations.
They don't have any operations, but I don't know.
It's Redding or back to Burbank.
Good Lord.
At least on the road.
I wonder.
And you're not going to Redding.
So I'm pretty. I don't know if they refuel.
Like, you think they carry it?
Do they carry enough fuel to turn an hour, to turn right? Around. Like, they probably have enough fuel they could divert all the way back to Burbank if they had to. Or do two passes here and then, or three passes here. Like, he said we're going to give it a look or give it a try. I agree that the phrasing was challenged there.
We'll hang out for 10 minutes.
Right, it's a little bit of Hunt for October. You got 5 minutes reserve fuel? We're staying here 5 minutes, right? Like,
I mean, these are totally California problems, though, right? It's going to be two or three times a year where this becomes an issue where you might have to divert. I mean, the fact that you had even a little bit of rain on the ground today,
but it's fun to think about because, like, they have to think about these things because
every day dispatch has to plan for that.
Yeah, dispatchers are thinking about these things. Like, if they diverted, I think they had to go back to Burbank.
I think they probably would go back to Burbank.
They do the 10 minutes, they go back, they climb up, they go back. Maybe it wouldn't be at 30,000 feet, be at 8,000 or something a little bit lower, which they get worse fuel economy. But because they don't have a flight plan back to Burbank, they're trying to figure it out on the fly as they get back up.
Don't you just push the button and say, "Hey, ATC, we're going back," and like give us a flight plan?
I don't think that.
There's got to be enough room.
I actually think it may screw up. I mean, they may send them out over the bay, like back out, because they've got to get them back down south. They've got to sequence with traffic.
Yeah,
it's an interesting problem.
Yeah. Hey, listen. I mean, that's part of this airline dispatch, though, right? Yeah.
So they also block it at like an hour and 35 minutes for a flight that will never take more than an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And departing and arriving at an airport where taxi time is 5 minutes,
maybe 3 minutes.
So you also wonder if with the morning departure, I'd be curious to know what the block time is for the afternoon departure.
Like back
I wonder
down.
If the morning departure has been padding.
Oh, you're saying like either after the afternoon
or a later departure to get here a little bit later.
Like, so like the 4 p.m. from Burbank to Santa Rosa.
Yeah,
you think maybe it's blocked a little shorter.
Yeah,
my mind is being blown. You're telling me there are two operations today?
Yeah, today is one daily. So Mondays and Fridays are going to have double daily going forward.
So the flight that arrived at 8 a.m. and 4 p.m.
What is this market? Who are these people?
From Santa Rosa to Las Vegas. And comes back to Santa Rosa and back to Burbank.
Michael,
apparently there's a market for Santa Rosa Vegas.
I'd like to pretend that it was the wine tasting that did it to him, but it's actually talking about a Vela's route map.
Yeah. Well, it could be the wine too, fair.
We heard him.
Let's talk about plane spotting. I love the in-and-out location. I love the park. Okay. Down.
Yeah.
In-and-out.
Easy.
Easy peasy. One.
The lighting is terrible.
I booked a parking spot at the parking spot LAX Boulder. Third floor.
Let's talk about the fact that costs you like $36 for what, like 4 or 5 hours at most.
But to me, it was worth it. I didn't park
on the street. And the street was full.
The street was full, I needed somewhere to park.
Yeah, but how does that work for someone that's actually parking there like multiple days?
Oh, it's crazy. It's crazy.
Tangent, of course.
Yes, it's crazy. Ridiculous. It's insane. But the view from the third floor is a totally different perspective of what you get.
Yeah,
from on the ground.
Better.
Like amazing. Like, we had a much better view of like them landing and like how like the. Just the depth perception. You're
basically staring straight out at them.
Yeah, it was great.
You're straight at them instead of looking out under them.
Yeah. And then I want to say, like, Imperial Hill, which is on the other side of the airport, is a completely different experience, even from...
So Imperial Hill is mostly a departures view.
Yep,
definitely. Right? I think the In-N-Out is arrivals view. The lighting at In-N-Out, generally speaking, sucks because the sun is always...
Behind the
everything's backlit until sunset.
Yep.
And then you get golden hour, sunset hour, and it is unbelievably good. But if you're at the airport and, like, want a snack and want to see airplanes, your option is the In-N-Out.
Yeah, yeah.
And then you, of course, eat an In-N-Out burger, but whatever. That's a different challenge. Those terrible french fries. and half of our subscriber base just
like, unsubscribe. I'm not paying Patreon for this shit.
worth it, though. I have opinions, and I'm going to tell you about them. No, I think it's a great place to watch planes. I think the photos, other than at sunset, are
hard.
Challenging.
Yeah.
And I'm not that great a photographer, so I'm sure other people did better with it than I did.
I enjoyed Imperial Hill.
Yeah.
I enjoyed watching.
You need a longer lens for Imperial Hill.
You do. But I enjoyed seeing like some of the movements around the airport, which you can't really see from.
So you get to watch the entire south side. You can see the cargo ramp. It's great.
Yeah.
And you actually get cool views. They're way off the distance, but over the approaches on the north side, too.
Yeah.
Sort of, cool. You actually see the planes. If you look at it right, you see them through the LA Experience building.
Yeah.
Like they fly through the arches. It's pretty neat.
And like you can even see them turn base and do all those things because you're so much higher up. So I enjoyed that. I think, you know, Spot LAX, great. It's a great event. We got Cranky Flyer and New York City Aviation. It was a great event.
I love that they've combined their resources for that because they didn't always, and it's nice to
have both.
Just share the date and everybody. Yeah. It improves the crowd.
It was good to see people, and you know, we had some subscribers and stuff come out and say hello, which was great. And so I mean, anything else you want to talk about? Anything you guys want?
I'm sure if you give a shout out to the Flight Radar Explorer AV Talk podcast.
Oh yeah.
At one point, we decided that we were going to record their podcast and they were going to record ours. So I'm apparently supposed to call this AV Talk.
That's a bad idea.
That's terrible. Yeah, no, it wasn't a good idea. But this is what happens when you're at Korean barbecue after Dorkfest and have a pitcher of beer.
So to Ian and
Ian and Jason.
Jason,
thank you.
Thanks for having a meal last
week. Yeah. and we will not, in fact, call this AV Talk. That was a terrible idea, and we should never discuss it again.
Yeah.
No, we did. We had a couple of listener questions come in, but I think we should save those for next episode when I can remember what they are and actually properly research them.
Yeah, totally. But thanks to Steve and Michael for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
I think someone called it shooting the shit is what we do on the show.
Pretty much. So.
Someone described to me as like, you sound like a couple of guys like sitting around drinking beers and talking about airplanes. And the reality is we were in fact this afternoon
doing exactly
four guys sitting around drinking beers and talking about airplanes.
After having a wine tasting. So we're, we're three sheets.
I'm like a sheet and a half.
I'm no sheet. I'm officially driving.
Yeah. As am I. If the California Highway Patrol is listening, both Michael and Steve have had no sheets involved.
Correct.
But thanks for listening, Patreon subscribers. Thanks again for your support. And you can find us on Twitter at dotslines or dotsmoreline.com. Next time, happy travels.
Take care.
Bye.
Have a good one.